In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Consoler, Paraclete, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to go back now in our first section to continue with Verbum Domini. But I'm going to go back to some paragraphs we've already looked at to sort of set the scene again, because in a way this is the most important section of Verbum Domini. It's the title of this section is called The Liturgy, Privileged Setting for the Word of God. And the first two sections are general. And then, starting with paragraph 54, which we've already seen lightly before, we're talking now about the Word of God and the Eucharist. These are our food. The Word of God is our food. And he comes to us in the Eucharist and in the Bible. And as I think I've already mentioned to you, there's a very dramatic statement in paragraph, which will be there, 56, that says, you see, that I'm trying to find it for you quickly. The sacramentality of the Word can thus be understood by analogy with the real presence of Christ under the appearances of consecrated bread and wine. In other words, the Word is present, the Lord is present in the Word in a way that's analogous to the way he's present in the Eucharist. That's quite powerful. And that's particularly why those of us who are called to preach at the liturgy, and you have to have a sacramental character to do that, be a bishop, a priest, or a deacon, you see, there's a grave responsibility. So, I want to go back now and start with number 54 and review this, and then we'll move on. Everything has been said about the relationship between the Word and the sacraments up to this point in these other few paragraphs takes on a deeper meaning when we turn to the celebration of the Eucharist. The profound unity of Word and Eucharist is grounded in the witness of Scripture. Where we have the Word about the Eucharist, particularly John 6, which is all about living by his word and living by his body and blood and living forever. And so, you see, this is an old patristic understanding. In fact, it's an old New Testament understanding that we have lost. We have so many challenges in order to make the liturgy what it ought to be. But by the grace of God, we'll get there. Now this unity between Word and Eucharist is attested to by the fathers of the Church and reaffirmed by the Second Vatican Council, most especially in Sacro Sanctum Concilium, the document on the liturgy. Here we think of Jesus' discourse on the bread of life in the synagogue at Capernaum, with its underlying comparison between Moses and Jesus, between the one who spoke face to face with God and the one who makes God known. Because Moses was the one through whom God gave the manna. Now there's a marvelous text in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, where it says, you know, if you remember, I fed you with bread, and I took care of you, so that you would learn that it's not on bread alone that man lives, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now you would think, wouldn't you, that the way to teach somebody that they don't live on just bread is to take it away from them and then say, look, you're still living. You still have other things, the word and so forth. But the text says that he did the opposite. You see, that he, I'm sorry, it's not 8, it's 4, isn't it? Well, anyway, no, I think it's 8. This notion that I fed you so that you would know that there's more. Now, the more is suffused by faith. You know, if a devout Israelite went out and picked up this manna and started to eat it and gave thanks to God, you see how that's Eucharist? You see? But it's not just on the bread, it's on the dabar, the action, the word of God that we live. And so it's already in that sense combined, because the manna, when received with faith, belongs to the realm of the word of God, and it's nutritious spiritually as well. Jesus' discourse on the bread speaks of the gift of God which Moses obtained for his people with the manna in the desert, which is really the Torah, the life-giving word of God. This is such an old Jewish understanding, and it's throughout the Bible, that the word of God is bread. Very often, one of the ways of describing wisdom is describe it as bread. You know that wonderful text we have in the prophecy of Isaiah, where Isaiah, the Lord through Isaiah, you see, is speaking about having something to eat, but it comes through come, all those who are thirsty, come to the water. For those who don't have any money, come. You see, halav, shibru, you know, and eat. Now, you see, this is wisdom inviting. We have in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 9, wisdom saying, being described as preparing a banquet and mixing her wine and having the meal ready, because wisdom is food. So what's the how do we see what is going on here? Wisdom, you have to take in. You have to take it in. You just can't say, that's very interesting, I'll think about that someday. You have to take it in. That's exactly what you do with the Eucharist. You have to take it in. And so, you see, they are both the Word of God. One, the Word of God incarnate, now present in this bread, which is no longer just bread, and the Word of God in wisdom, which is, as we're going to see, analogously, you see, the same. It's so that we need to ponder, to take in wisdom. You see, that's why so many of the images regarding wisdom are eating, drinking, taking it in, which is different than just thinking about it. I could teach or take a course on the wisdom literature in the Old Testament and be not one whit more intelligent when I finished than when I started, unless I took it in, let it change me, give it authority over my life, change me, make all my drives move toward God. You see, that's the only way. That's nourishment, and that's wisdom. Then there's one bread which is wisdom, but it's wisdom incarnate. And that's the Eucharist. There, the bread we take in, the wine we drink, is wisdom himself. And that's how these two relate. So that's what this paragraph is saying, you see? Because the manna is really the Torah. There are beautiful statements in the earliest commentators that we have record of. They ran out of water in the desert. That is wisdom. Right away. They call them the Rishimot, the ones who, the first people who were able to have a fulfilling and symbolic understanding of certain parts of the Old Testament. And this is one. They ran out of water. That is wisdom. So where did they get wisdom? The Torah. What is the Torah? Law? No. It's not law. The word Torah means teaching. It comes from the root yara, to point out. And so we have, for instance, a text, it's in the book of Proverbs, but I've forgotten just exactly where it says, "My son, listen to the instruction of your father and the Torah of your mother." It's a beautiful text. See, the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. In John, "I am the bread of life." Here the law has become a person. When we encounter Jesus, we feed on the living God himself. So to speak, we truly eat the bread of life. And that's coming from some statements that the Pope himself wrote in his book, Jesus of Nazareth. In the discourse at Capernaum, John's prologue is brought to a deeper level. The prologue, now the discourse at Capernaum, that's John 6. Again, we're talking about the Eucharist. We're talking about the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. In the discourse at Capernaum, John's prologue is brought to a deeper level. There, God's Logos became flesh. But here, this flesh becomes bread, given for the life of the world. With an allusion to Jesus' self-gift in the mystery of the cross, confirmed by the words about his blood being given as drink. Iper imon, see, for the life of the world. The mystery of the Eucharist reveals the true manna, the true bread of heaven. It is God's Logos made flesh, who gave himself up for us in the mystery of the Paschal mystery. So we live by the Word. The Word feeds us on his body and blood, purifies our hearts, moves us toward him, and we live by the Word as it's expressed in human words. And if you want to extend the image a bit, incarnated in human words. There are phrases in Origen like that, but I think you see there's a difference. But we need both. And so I thought that's why it would be worth reflecting once again on a part of this. You do recall the account of the disciples on the way to Emmaus. And there, you see, he goes through Moses, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. I think that there's two places in Luke 24. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms, that's the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. It's the whole Bible. And he goes through it, showing how the whole Bible speaks of him. That's food. All right, we'll stop there.